Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Thursday afternoon. Chad Hartman with you on WCCO, and it's always a great, great pleasure to be joined by one of the most accomplished individuals we have in our state and really across the country, Alan Page. What hasn't Justice Page done? Phenomenal career in football, Hall of Famer, involved in so many causes involving education, Minnesota State Supreme Court Justice, and he is involved in another cause that we've talked about multiple times. In fact, we had on his colleague, Neil Kashkari, the president of the Minneapolis Federal Reserve Bank, as they are trying to disrupt the education system. And I know it's gaining some traction in the legislature. It's dubbed Our Children Minnesota. It's a bipartisan push, and it's going to make some significant changes. Reminder on the current language for education, and this goes back to 1857, only guarantees access to adequate education system as interpreted by the courts. Justice Page and others want to change this through a constitutional amendment and guarantee quality education as a civil right. And Alan Page is kind enough to join us. Alan, just talk about how long you have thought about this pursuit and why you think this is the proper route to pursue.
Well, you know, looking back, I've been focused on education and trying to ensure that all children have an opportunity to use education to achieve their hopes and dreams. And, you know, when I joined the court back in 1993, one of the first cases I sat on involved education funding, scheme versus the state. And, you know, the focus, while admittedly that case dealt with funding, it was clear to me at that time, and it's still clear to me today, that there are funding issues, but there are also other issues that don't relate to funding, sort of how education is delivered. And I've been thinking about it since then, and about a year ago, Neil called me. You pay attention when you get a call from the Federal Reserve Bank of Minnesota. It's like, what? who called? And, you know, and particularly when it's the president of the bank.
Yes.
He asked if I would be willing to come down and talk about education. And when I got there, his thinking on you know, where we are with these gaps in these disparities in how children of color and poor white children perform was pretty much along the same lines of mind that we have to do something to bring about change. And he asked, you know, is there something we could do with the law? And from that discussion, we started thinking about and trying to develop a proposal for a change in our Constitution. You indicated early on that, you know, this our current Constitution is basically from 1857.
Yep.
Without any substantive changes. and it focuses on inputs and the system itself. We thought it would make a dramatic difference if we changed that focus a little bit and included children and outcomes. At the end of the day, children are who we're educating. Mm-hmm. And yet they haven't been the prime focus, certainly not the prime focus of our Constitution. We think by changing that focus to children and outcomes and making education a civil right, that it can be a catalyst for real change for the legislature, for the executive branch, to start moving in ways that really do make a difference. I mean, there have been a lot of there's been a lot of effort on and good faith efforts by a lot of people over the years, but the current Constitution has gotten us where we are.
When your career in the NFL finished, you and Diane could have lived anywhere in this country, and you chose to live here, and both of you were remarkably involved in a number of areas. And I look at this, and I think I've lived here 95% of my life, and we have a lot of great qualities in Minnesota, but I think it is just a stain on our state that we still have this remarkable disparity in education between white kids and kids of color. And we try different ideas. I think most of these people are genuine about it, but we don't Absolutely. Get better. And many, many years, Alan, you know this better than I, our disparity is at the bottom of the entire country, which is a staggering embarrassment. When you look at that, this is still going on in 2020. What jumps to your mind when you know these stats better than I?
Well, as an example, 4 out of every 10 Black American Indian and Latino children lack proficiency by 11th grade. Or 4 out of 10 have proficiency by the 11th grade.
Okay, yep.
That's just unconscionable.
It is.
And, you know, it really struck me recently. I was at a school, elementary school, reading to a group of children, actually the entire school, and they had them in the gymnasium sitting on the floor as I was reading one of Cammy and I's children books to them. And I look out, and the vast majority, if not 90% of the children in the school are children of color. And I'm thinking four in every 10 are going to be proficient. What about the other 6?
Yeah. And what happens then?
Well, what about our future? I mean,
yeah.
Let's face it, those children are going to be tomorrow's leaders. And if we don't prepare them, if we don't educate them, what kind of a future are we going to have?
Alan Page is with us. We're covering this topic that he believes in and the adjustment in our Constitution to guarantee education as a civil right and voters getting the chance to vote in this. Education Minnesota has come out, at least at the leadership level, against this, worried that this is a path to allow people to use vouchers for private schools, and it's then going to have a detrimental effect on education, public school education, and in the long run, do the opposite of what you two and obviously thousands of others are trying to do. Why do you disagree with Education Minnesota on that point?
Well, for a couple of reasons, not the least of which is I have no interest in harming public education. Indeed, the proposed amendment makes clear that the focus is public education and public schools. this argument that it will lead to vouchers. The fact is that the current constitutional provision, if the legislature so chose, it could go down the voucher road. It hasn't chosen to do that, thank goodness. And yes, if under our proposal, to some degree, there is no difference except for one really important distinction. The proposed amendment makes education and a quality public education in quality public schools a paramount duty of the state. In fact, let me just see if I can, I don't have the amendment or the proposal up in front of me, but let me see if I can recall it. It is a paramount duty of the state to ensure quality public schools that fulfill a child's fundamental right. Mm-hmm. That provision or that sentence in the proposed amendment would, I think, make it very difficult because you couldn't introduce some voucher scheme at the expense of public education. You might do it over and above, you know, the public education.
Mm-hmm.
Or should I say, at the expense of quality public schools. You could maybe do it over and above that, but not at the expense of. And under the current provision, you can do it at the expense of.
Understand.
And that's a problem.
We
and
can.
So I just don't, that argument just doesn't hold much water.
We continue with Alan Page. He's with us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. I just want to touch on two other points that I know matter a lot to you also. I thought you spoke out beautifully recently about your longtime friend, your teammate, Jim Marshall. And yeah. You talked about both. You said, let's talk about what he did on the field, how unique he was, and what a leader he was on your team, which went to the four Super Bowls, which was the best team in the NFC for about an 8-year period. And
Yes. You
and many others on that team are in the Hall of Fame. Are you optimistic that Jim still could make it?
Well, just given the structure of how people are selected, you know, I'm hopeful, but I'm not. You know, if he didn't make it in this class this year with the 100th
yep.
anniversary, the expanded class,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be some time, I fear, before he does make it. You know, when you think about Jim as a football player, and mind you, I grew up while I wasn't, I didn't spend a lot of time focused on football when I was growing up. I did grow up in Canton, Ohio, which is right down the road from
right there,
the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
And I got to see, had the opportunity to see a lot of really great football players along the way. The Jim Browns of the world.
Mm-hmm.
The Otto Grahams, the Lou Groza's. Those people kind of were institutions and built this game. Jim was one of those institutions. I mean, when you think about playing for, what is it, 20 years?
Yeah.
You know, the and not only showing up for games in 20 years, not only playing in every game for 20 years, but starting every game for 20 years.
282 consecutive games played, 270 consecutive starts. That's amazing.
That is just unheard of. that is just absolutely unheard of. And you know, we can talk about the people who have gone beyond that today, but you know, I dare say a kicker's life and a quarterback's life is a little bit different than a defensive end's life.
Yeah, as someone who just watches it, even I know that the disparity is incredible. Listen, I wish Jim the best. More importantly, I just want to thank you again for coming on. We're going to pay close attention to this. I think people should know that you have a lot of bipartisan support in this, too, that, you know, you're going to have differences, but this is not just Democrats. I mean, you have a lot of Republicans who are willing to vote for it, a lot of Republicans who've spoken out on this and who believe the system just isn't working.
Who've had the courage to stand up and say,
yep,
we've got to do something different because we've got to put children first.
It's a great way to end it. Alan, thank you so much. As always, I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Chad. Good to talk with you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.